CliffCentral.com.
All right. Yes. Good morning, everybody. I've got Lebang. I've got Mark Mdluli. I got you, me. What else do we need? Nothing. Full house. It's good. Good morning, Lebang. How are you? No, you're still on mute. No. I'm embarrassing.
Yeah, look, technology is whipping my ass today, bro.
Yes.
And it's so early. Like, what did I do to you, universe? Let me win. Can I just have this morning, please?
At least once.
Retrograde.
Well, you sound all right now. I mean, it sounds really good, actually. Got a new mic or something there?
Oh. Yeah, my mic is right here. My voice is ready and amped for the morning. The only thing I can't control is how loud my children are going to be screaming. So, disclaimer, like, we are nannyless again, sadly. So,
what happened?
I don't even know if I'm ready to talk about it, to be honest with you. It's just so sad. It's just sad. Like, I have bad luck with nannies. I've just accepted. And I'm also not going to go looking for a new one. I've told myself, you know what? This is a sign. God wants you to take care of your kids yourself. So.
Yes. Okay. So yeah. I'm not going to get into it if you don't want to get into it. But maybe you're maybe you're the most terrible employer in the world. I mean, it's possible.
I might just be. Right? I could be the problem. Yeah. You know, how can I go through like three nannies in a space of 4 months? I am clearly doing something wrong. So I need to take a step back and go back to the drawing board and readjust like my plans and stuff. Yeah. No, but it's not that deep. She literally just like went home and never came back. Like she was like, okay, I'm off this weekend. See you Monday. And then since then, it's just been crickets. So I'm like, oh, we're doing this thing already. So,
it happens.
Nannies, schmannies.
It happens. And, you know, then you think, oh, it must be, I always think it's my fault. Right. And that hasn't happened to me for 100%. Ages. But I always go, oh, it's definitely me. And then maybe it isn't. Maybe she's just got shit to deal with and she just didn't want to deal with it with you.
I mean, thank you. You know, you're making it sound a lot better than it really is. But yeah, whatever. Like, she'll deal with it. She's the one who's essentially like out of her job. But I am taking this as an opportunity to just play a more active role in participating in raising my kids. And challenge accepted. I'll make it work. I will juggle my mini lives and just find a way.
Jesus, and all of this with the holidays coming up. I mean, it's, you know, this time of year of all times of the year, because I think a lot of parents who have some help around the house with the kids, at this time of year, they have to get used to, like, there's no help. There's no one else.
You know? Yeah, 100%. So there goes my festive season, essentially. Mark, oh, my God, hey, how are you? You know, how's it going?
Trying to change the subject. Hello, Mark and Julie, how are you?
I'm well, thanks to yourself, Garrett.
Yeah, good, dude. I have nothing to moan about. Except yesterday, I had 1,000 things happening all at once. So I got up yesterday morning, did the show. Then, as the show ended, I had done something silly. Like, I like to do Mondays. I like to get Mondays really full, right? So I had arranged. I've got to do some like construction here. It's like more. It's not renovations on any big scale, but there's a bit of building that needs doing and some painting and some tidying up and stuff. So I had a guy come around who's going to be building some stuff. So he was here. Then I had someone arrived to clean the carpets, which I haven't done in 10 years of being here. I've cleaned the stuff myself mostly. You know, I have someone to help out whatever and like they'll clean as well. But yeah, mostly I've left alone. So this guy tells me, this carpet cleaning dude, he's like, no, you should do this every 6 months. So I'm like, huh? I haven't done this for like 10 years, dude. And he looks at me, he's like, you know when someone looks at you and you can see they think you're a filthy animal and they want nothing to do with you? And this guy's like, you could see he's disgusted. What kind of a monster lives like you do? So this carpet cleaning dude, the builder, and then the delivery of all of the building material. So, you know, sand and cement and bricks and all that shit all happens between 8 and 9. everything at once. Plus, this guy arrives to drop some number plates for the car, and there's like a whole lot of other stuff that all happened at once. I was basically running around like a moron for the first 2-3 hours of the day yesterday, and I felt like, okay, just next time, because it was all my fault, next time pace these things so that not everybody arrives at once, because then I'm running around doing this, then this one needs that, then this one needs these keys, then that one needs to go here, then that one and all of this is happening at the same time. I just thought, no, you're trying to do too much. Stupid.
But like everything gets done, right? Isn't the benefit of getting everything done like in the morning is that by 12, it's like, oh, well, finito. I think I'm for that thing. I'm the kind of person that packs everything into like one day so that it's all pretty much done. And then by the time I go to sleep, I don't have to deal with, okay, one person tomorrow and then another one on the next day. Everything just gets done. It's like a one swipe of my, you know, duties. And then I can use the rest of the time better.
It's fine to say that. And you know how I am about efficiency. I'm like, yes, let's do everything at once. And I like that. I love 300 things to happen at once, but they must happen. And there must be total success. Now, unfortunately, you know, when it's all going on at the same time, you're like, you can't even check that there's success happening there. Some of it might be a disaster.
Yeah, I feel you.
Luckily, all done. But I mean, I've started the week properly. DK says, clean the carpets after the building work is complete. No, but the building work is outside, so don't worry. Different story. And the reason I did the carpets, by the way, is not because I'm a filthy animal. The reason I did the carpets is because I've got this puppy and she was like peeing on the carpets and things, and I'm just like, had enough. You know, when things
still has carpets, guys?
Dude, I get carpets.
Humans.
What? Oh, that's so funny because we're doing this construction show. Apparently, I'm a construction worker now.
Oh, yeah.
So it's part of this show called The Reno Race. It's on SABC One. So, Mama, I made a shout out.
Go on.
So we're doing this show, and the one of the clients, okay, so we go and fix people's houses, literally like Extreme Home Makeover. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes with a sob story, my father died in an accident, and now I hate living here, whatever the case might be. And we'll go in and we'll go in and fix up the house, and we retile this place, and one lady's like, oh, we actually want carpets in the bedroom. I'm like, who wants carpets? What do you do like with the blood after you murder somebody? It's not ideal in 2022.
I mean, I just think
it's so hard to clean.
You raise a very good point. I mean, you know, South Africa is like a violent and dangerous country, and you've got to think like, what do we do? Funnily enough, the people who clean the carpets are also I saw on the their little like bucky or their truck outside, it's like carpet cleaning, curtain cleaning, upholstery cleaning, crime scene cleaning, and I'm like, oh,
you're lying.
I swear to God. So I'm like, oh yeah,
they must be so busy in South Africa.
I'm like, well, that's good to know. So if I ever murder someone, I just get you guys around and you can clean up they'll clean the blood. They'll know what to do.
Yeah, they must be busy. That must be the biggest part of their profit, crime cleaning.
Yeah, I mean, this is South Africa, right? We've got to have these things. All right, so so, Mark, when do we watch this show? I mean, is it like on already or?
Yeah, so it's been going on for a while, apparently. I didn't even know the show existed because it's on SABC One. And, you know, I've upgraded my life. I don't watch poverty TV anymore.
excuse us.
Exactly. So I haven't actually seen it, but it's on SABC One. It is on the 21st of December. That's season 8, though.
Okay.
And it's really cool, man. Like, honestly, we are changing people's lives. Like, to go into a house and you see like, okay, yeah, this is a shit show. And then you go in the first day on a Monday, and then we see the house, we meet the clients or the people, and afterwards we start tearing down the house immediately. And I'm actually the construction representative. I represent the construction side of this, like, I'm the skinniest construction man you've ever seen in your life, guys.
Hold on. This is a reality TV show.
Yeah, kinda. It is. So we are really helping fix the houses, genuinely doing the job.
I have a problem with this because you are not a construction guy, so it's bullshit.
What do you know about construction?
This is what irritates me. This is what bothers me about reality TV is they're just basically casting someone. They're like, oh, well, we need a construction guy. Let's just get that Malcolm Clooley. He's entertaining and good looking. We'll put him on because God forbid we should get a real construction person. They might be too boring.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you say, Mark, when you get in there? Like, what are your construction, what's your construction jargon? Oh, the meters on the tile from this wall to that wall. Oh, look, I think we need this thing.
Exactly.
What do you know about this crap?
I don't know why you're doing that voice, but I do it as well. It's like, yeah, so we're going to have to replace the cornices over here. The ceiling plates are a bit of an issue right now, so we're going to take that out, put some new light fixtures in there. They feed me the lines. So I've obviously done some basic research on construction, they feed me the lines.
You're not even making up your own lines here. They are giving you lines to say, this is outrageous. Yeah. These poor people whose houses,
we call this?
These people's houses you're fixing in inverted commas, you're probably doing them huge damage. They're going to end up living in squalor because the roof's going to cave in, the walls will fall down, all because Mark McLeese not really a construction dude.
God forbid they find out. Like, what if somebody picks it up after the show? Like, hey, Mark, I'm the person whose house you fixed during the show. I know it's been 2 years, but please can you come back and help me with ABC? Then what? Oh, no, I'm actually a comedian. Come to my show.
Come to my show. No, that's the funny thing. So, I lead the cash build team. So cash build is the one who does the actual construction. There are actual construction workers on site. And I'm supposed to be their boss, but they're busy telling me how to do stuff.
Jeez, I'm embarrassed.
They're like, yeah, this is how you hold an angle grinder, Mark. I'm like, yeah, thanks, employee. This is why I hired you.
You know, the more I think about this, the more I think you shouldn't have said any of the stuff you've just said. You probably, because now you've spoiled the whole show. They're probably going to find out about this. They're like, Malcolm Glulie, that son of a bitch. Now he's told everybody it's just a casting thing, and he doesn't know anything about construction. Now all the people who are going to be sending in their sob stories, as you put them, are going to be like, no, but we don't want that guy because he's fake. We don't like him at all. He's a bullshit guy.
No, the thing is, this is what acting is, Garrett. At the end of the day, I take the job that I'm given. At the end of the day, I need to eat, Garrett. I need to make it. So, and also, at the end of the day, it is a real project. It is just me representing that side of it. Yeah. To be honest, maybe they just wanted a pretty construction worker. They probably looked around and was like, hey, these guys are all ugly. What are we going to do with these guys? Let's get somebody with a face.
Doesn't everybody know? Haven't we all realized construction workers are pretty much, to a man, the ugliest people in the world? So maybe this is why they put you on. And all the construction workers, the real ones, are watching you with their one finger missing because they took it off with a hacksaw, or their nose is crushed because someone put an angle grinder there by mistake, or the wheelbarrow hit their leg so they're lame. And they're looking at you going, what makes him so special? You know, that kind of thing.
That's exactly the energy I get. But also at the same time, I genuinely am doing the construction on site because they have to capture that footage. So yesterday, I learned how to use a jackhammer. We took down a wall. I'm taking out tiles. I'm painting. So it's it's actually a real fulfilling experience because I'm doing this acting thing. And at the same time, I'm learning about a different industry that, is part of all of our lives. We just don't really... know about it.
Just stop, because nobody believes
you. You don't give a rat's ass you about don't. Construction manager. you would have, please spare us. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. We see right through you. Congratulations, you got an acting gig. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah. All right, so Lindy Ntuli says, Malcolm Glulie sounds like the dude Ace Magashule hired to fix those houses in the Free State with a fumes. That's right. Francois Sutherland says, you can come and use my house as a blank canvas. Any designers in the house? Oh my God. Tracy says that old adage, fake it till you make it. God, that's funny. Oh my God, that's funny.
But Tracy has vision. Tracy has vision.
They probably gave you the gig because of your personality. I mean, let's be honest, as much as they're saying reality show, it's entertainment. They need you to be, you know, witty and fun. The truth is no construction workers be like that. They're all pretty like monotone. They're there to do their work. Hello, ma'am, here's a hammer. Boom, 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 done. So if you're engaging with TV and with people and, you know, you need to have a bit of like pizzazz, a bit of fa-fa, a little va-va-voom. And I guess you've got that. So own that and do with it what you can and just keep it moving.
Carl says, this has been the worst promo for a show that I've ever heard. Oh, Jesus.
Such thing as bad
publicity. Yeah?
I'll say there's no such thing as bad publicity, Carl. Oh, no such.
Just wait. We will prove it. Okay, so quickly, one other thing. I'm just trying to see here. Ooh, there is an echo on my mic. But it's not coming from me. It's coming from Mark's mic. When his is on, then mine. So, okay, we'll figure it out for the next little bit. I have to say, though, these people who came in to clean the carpets yesterday, right? This guy's like, look at the water. He shows me after he's like, you know, he's done this this deep clean of the carpets. He's like, he's got this bucket and he's all proud of it. And he like shows me, sticks it under my nose. He's like, look at all the filth that I pulled out of your carpets. He's like, look how gross this is. And he said to me he's done like deep cleaning of mattresses. So you know how, ew, they vacuum out the bed bugs and shit from people's mattresses. And he says, it is gross how some people, because they don't realize, they're like, they wake up in the morning and they're itchy and they're not sure why. It's because these little things and like running around in the mattress. The mattress is
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I know, Lebang, this is so gross. There are creatures that live there that most people don't even know live there. So you got to do these things every now and then.
Yeah, but not every 6 months, bro. I think every 6 months is a bit much. Crazy. Like,
no,
it just sounds like he's trying to upsell you. You know
what
I mean? Maybe once a year.
No, of course.
And like, you live by yourself, you know, with your dogs. Like, you know, you occasionally have visitors over. How often, you know, is a rug in Gareth's house going to need to be cleaned? He was really just trying to, you know, trying to pull a fast one.
Right.
Although I do agree, like, some people are filthy. So generally, maybe they do need every 6 months. I mean, if we could put a microscopic lens into some mattresses out there, you'll faint. You'll absolutely faint at what you'll discover.
And you know what we don't see is also the amount of like just crap, like soil and sand and mud. You've got kids, so they just walk in with all that stuff on their feet, right? And there's nothing you can do. You try your best. Now, I have such sympathy, not only for parents and pet owners, but even for people who live on their own. You try really hard to keep your house tidy. And then, you know, you have someone come to visit or you have something like fixed around the house or whatever, and people walk through with all that shit on their feet. And before you know it, the place is like, you've tried your whole life to keep your place clean. And then someone else walks in and they ruin it in one day. So you've just got to
undo all your work. No, it's absolute bollocks. I am trying this thing with my kids where if they come in like through the front door, they have to take off their shoes. You know that like Asian vibe of all the shoes stay at the front of the house. It's not going well at all. They don't want to do it. Like, guys, leave your shoes at the front. They're like, no, we're going to jump on this couch with these shoes. We're going to jump on these beds with these shoes. And I'm just like, okay, cool. I'm just, you know, forget about me. I'm just your mom. You know, but I think if they get older, it'll work. It'll definitely work. Because I'm like, Asians are, there must be something that they know that we don't know. You know, they're doing something right. So I'm going to give that a try, definitely. Make it a thing.
Well, Carl says, I'm telling
you. So is it just about like dirty feet?
It's dirty everything. It's dirty everything.
Dirty lives.
Carl says, I'm telling you, your mattress is disgusting. There's that echo again. Ugh. I get it professionally cleaned once a year. Do it. Just do it. Ugh. Yeah. Okay. All right. If you say so. Once a year, says Carl. Jean says, how fucking dirty are you if you have to deep clean a bed every 6 months? Upselling tech. Well, that's what people say. Luzanne says, that is why spring cleaning for Christmas, cleaning in the case of my colored household, is a thing. Yeah. Well, listen, I think we all think we're clean and mostly like sanitary people until you figure out how much horrible stuff lives in your house with you.
That's true.
Bradley says, leaving your shoes at the door is standard practice here in Dubai.
Yeah, you see, and Dubai is like, what, a rich-ass country. I mean, they're doing something right. So let's go. Shoes at the door, and that's it.
Ruth says, I had four teenagers crash over the weekend for trick-or-treating. It was great. Such together vibes. Oh, fun.
Sounds so clean.
yeah, I don't know so much. George Meany says, our own George Meany from Auto Trader says, these mites love your dead skin.
George,
please. Hot is disgusting.
Word vomit.
Yeah, that is so ugh. Okay, let's see if we can get Mark back on here. I don't know what's going on with his sound. Mark, are you there? Mm-mm. All right, well, we'll wait for Mark in the meantime. We've got
the worst is like slime. Like I don't know if you've ever engaged with slime, Gareth. Like little kiddie toys, slime, Play-Doh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Getting that shit out of carpets is an absolute nightmare. You know what I saw was bad? My kids like threw it on the roof at some point. Like they were playing with it, like cha-la-la-la-la, this is slime, and they went whoa, and that thing stuck to the ceiling. And I was like, enough. Slime is banned from this house. You guys have no respect for me, for the ceiling, for my rugs. Yo, it's just a nightmare. Yo.
Well, I gave my nephew slime for I think it was a birthday or a Christmas or something 1 year. And you could just see my brother and my sister-in-law just looked at me like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Why did you have to do that? We were having such a good time. Why did you ruin our lives and make it even worse for us?
Exactly.
Carl says, I like how Lebung says, if they get older. So Lebung's kids' future is not guaranteed.
At this point, it's up to them, Carl. It is literally between them and like how behaved they are. If they can keep the shoes off, then I'll think about it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to try Mark. Let's see. No, still no luck. Oh, you see, George even has some useful information. Hit that echo cancellation box in the back end of the system. You see, George knows everything. Look at that. Mark, if you're listening, pay attention. He does. He knows everything. All right. So, I mean, we weren't meant to go down a dark hole of like deep cleaning mattresses and what kind of shit lives in your house, but I thought I'd let you know what my Monday was like. Got a busy week this week. It's the 1st of November. It's a brand new month.
Oh, it is. It's the first of the month. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Right there. Mark, you back? I think he's back now. He's on mute. All righty. Well, while we're waiting for him to get on, let me give you some headlines quickly for this morning. South Africa's most in-demand Christmas toys. Do you want to know what they are?
Let's hear it.
Okay, so the first thing, and you being a parent will probably know about some of these already. I didn't know about these things. The most in-demand toy at the moment for kids is like a little SUV that actually works. So let me put this on the screen. You'll see what I mean. It's essentially, it's like a car that a kid can ride, but it's a little car. It's not a big car. So let me show you a screenshot of this.
Is it the kind of car that the child can physically get inside of? Yes. Or is it like a remote control car?
No,
about that. These things are cuck expensive. What?
Right. That's the thing. It's like you can climb into it, but it's just big enough for one kid to sit in. Usually like of a certain age, let's say up to about age 6, 7.
Gareth, like age 5. Like this is essentially for toddlers. And it's supposed to just be like, oh, beep, beep, beep. I'm roaming around in my yard. But like some kids are wild. You know, this is South Africa.
Exactly.
Your kids are going to want to go on the streets.
Right. So this thing is a Reggie's police car SUV ride, 12-volt battery. That costs 4,500 Rand. That's what that thing will cost you. Not cheap.
Yeah, look, forget it.
There is no way.
In South Africa?
Uh-uh.
Nah.
There's no way.
I know they also got like Range Rovers, Bentleys. They do go up like normal cars as well. So for like the Range Rover version of that thing, you're literally looking at like 10 grand. It's quite insane.
Jesus. All right. Well, here are some others. There's a, what is this? A dinosaur? But apparently it's called a Thrash and Devour dinosaur. Apparently you push down on the tail and the like jaw goes like this or whatever. That costs 1,000 Rand. Are you kidding me?
What the what?
Yeah. then there's a is like a, it seems to me to be some kind of remote control car. That's another 700 rand. There's something called an Angel High Itty Bitty Pretty Capsule Doll with Color Change. Now, the only person who will know what this is Mark. So, Mark, do you know what that is?
Yeah, I've got a few. One of them is on my wish list for this year as well.
Okay, well, this is what it looks like. I had no idea this thing even existed. You see, I haven't been into a toy store except on the occasion where I have to buy my nephews something for Christmas or for their birthdays. And then I just go to things I know. So this is what they call an Angel Itty Bitty Pretty High Capsule. Why do they have to have the word high in there? That's not good for kids.
Like, how high?
And she looks high. She looks like she's tripping right now. She looks like she's taken a couple of drops of acid. Mm. And her eyes are wide.
That was specific.
Okay.
You can see this. You can find this girl at a festival, any trance festival. She's there, dressed exactly like that.
Right. Exactly. And now there are a lot of remote control cars. Then there's what do they call those soft darts that people shoot? Those like X shot things that, you know, the kids have these guns, but they shoot these little soft bullets. You know the ones I mean.
Oh, not BB guns.
No, it's not BB guns.
What are they called? Oh, I know what they're called. Those guns.
Those things.
Just
okay, so I'll put a picture of that up. Those things cost 400 Rand. This one that is in demand that they're saying, oh no, all the kids want this one, looks like this. You put the little
Nerf gun.
A Nerf, thank you.
But that does look pretty cool. That looks like a bit of a double whammy there.
I'd want this as an IT.
So far, that's the only one I would want. Lego is still a big one. You can always win with Lego. Then there's a Peppa Pig Clever Car exclusive. But this looks like a pile of shit. Let me show you this because I mean
No, Peppa Pig should be banned. That cartoon is just wild.
What's up with Peppa Pig, bro? Everybody loves it so much. Like, but that content is not for kids.
Peppa Pig is wild. That content is not for children. Like, I think I watched one episode a few years ago when my son was like 3 or 2. And I'm watching this little pig treat her dad like shit. Like, the thing is, you don't understand life. So I'm going to take this and I'm going to go jump in the mud with my boots. She literally treats her dad like crap. I'm like, oh, so this is what the kids are into these days? I was like,
nope. See, that's why they're jumping on your couch with the shoes on. They're watching Peppa Pig.
Correct.
No, you feel me?
Yeah.
So what do you think of this? This looks like a big steaming pile of crap. So it's got the Peppa Pig family, plus the car, which looks, I mean, you couldn't make a more stupid looking car. This is where we need George Meany on. He'll tell us that this car design is terrible.
People are going to die. No seat belts.
There isn't even
a steering wheel. Does it drive itself? Are they Flintstoning it? What are they like running underneath? What's going on?
It drives itself. It says here, teaches color matching. It auto avoids obstacles and has working lights, but still looks horrible. So
that is crap.
Do you know how much that thing will cost you? That crap will cost you 700 Rand.
There's no way.
Lebang, I don't know how you do it. With kids, they are so expensive. Even the fun stuff.
I'm telling you, you can't just do anything, you know, cool that is within budget. But there's a comment here that I relate to a lot. So Scott Campbell is saying, my kids are getting 50 Rand China Mall voucher this year. I second that. I can get that Peppa Pig car for 250 Rand. And because I've got 5 kids, I'll need 5 of them. So that's all. Just go to China Mall and say, hey, here's a disco light. Oh, mommy, thank you for the disco light. It's 30 bucks, nigga. It's 30 bucks.
Right. They're not going
to
know.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys do it. You must be a millionaire to have a child these days.
Yeah, you see, George is saying that looks like a naughty car. It should go out of production. It looks like those cars. looks like those cars that the Russians used to make in the like 1960s and 70s. I think it's called a Lada. It's just an absolute piece of shit. Where is the Dora the Destroyer rocket propelled grenade launcher? Says Corona's boring. Okay, well, that sounds like something every kid should have. With everything so expensive, says Francois, I'll have to start carving toys out of wood again. Oh, yeah, that's probably on the way.
That sounds cool, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you have that skill, that's dope.
Vyasin says, 2 milk crates, some wood, and 4 checkers trolley wheels. That'll be enough to make a car for a kid. That's the kind of shit we used to have to make as kids. We didn't have these electronic cars that you could get into, and a steering wheel worked, and it had lights, and not a chance.
If anything, we had to make our own car, like an empty box, put some wheel type thing on the sides, get inside there, ask your sibling to push you down the hill, and Bob is your uncle. Like this.
Yeah. We made toys out of everything. We made toys, like even plastics to make a soccer ball. All you need is a few checkers bags you've got a soccer ball right there. We don't need you, Toys R Us.
Right, exactly. And you used to have to use imagination because
imagine doing that right now and not getting all your information from a screen. What, we have brains?
Anyone who's listening to us now is going, oh, these old people are so irritating.
You know, well, yes. Yeah, I'm 30 now, so I'm old. It's fine. I'll take it. But anyway, I've been thinking about this a lot recently. Like, we genuinely don't need TV, guys. There is so much going on in our heads. There's drama, there's suspense, there's anger, there's betrayal, there's violence. Guys, our heads are a movie. Why are we paying for Netflix? Just close your eyes and meditate, guys. And you'll see things, you know? So, yeah,
all right, I totally feel you on that. In the headlines also, the police under Begikele say that they're going to take hold of these Zamazamas and they're going to sort this problem out. They're doing an investigation and they're getting specialized units to combat illegal mining, and it'll be consulted and tabled in the bargaining council. But they're in the talk stage, which they always are in the police. He made the statement while he was responding to parliamentary questions from the DA. There's a huge problem with illegal mining. We all know about this. They've been on, on the news a couple of times. These Zamazamas go there. First of all, they're in huge danger often because these mines collapse and many people lose their lives. Second of all, they live in these, settlements where it's really not, you're not meant to live on the top of mine dumps. And we had that horrible situation last year where a whole lot of women were raped. When they went near this settlement with all these Zamazamas. So someone has to take charge of this. Bekikele says they're still in the discussion part of it. And they will be until Bekikele is dead.
Like, can we get to the action part? I hear the headline, and thank you for that, Gareth, but it's the 1st of November 2022. Mm-hmm. This has been an ongoing problem for years. Why is this now? Oh, well, I guess we should start talking. You should have started talking to them a long time ago. It's gotten so bad that they've told themselves that they are untouchable. Mm-hmm. When cops land on like the scene where the Zamazamas, the cops are scared. They're like, oh, well, guess we better run. These Zamazamas are going to kill us. It's that bad. So I hate to say this, but I would like to see like the results. You know, if we can get a headline that's like, Begikele's police have successfully gotten rid of the Zamazamas or something, and in response to that rape case, all those charges were dropped. Mm-hmm. All those poor girls that were gang raped for that music video shoot, all of the people that were accused, those charges were dropped. So again, like, where's the win here? It's bollocks, essentially.
Instagram has confirmed that it did have issues yesterday. There was an outage, and some users say they've even been suspended. And Instagram say, no, we're sorting it out. Apparently, there was a problem yesterday. It's not just you. It was Instagram. They say, we're aware some of you are having issues accessing your Instagram account. We're looking into it and apologize for the inconvenience. Reports of Instagram outages on Monday surged around 1,600 hours. That's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There were over 7,000 reports that were handed in to Instagram locally. Some people took to Twitter to complain about Instagram. And someone said that Instagram did not immediately respond to the insider's request for comment ahead of publication. But they've eventually come out and said, yes, there was a problem. So if you were wondering why your Instagram was behaving strangely yesterday, it wasn't just you. Okay.
Take a break. It's fine.
Yeah, take a break. It's not the worst thing, like when WhatsApp was off the other day. WhatsApp didn't work properly. And then, I was like, that's actually quite nice. Now I can concentrate on the work I have to do today. because I'm not going to be disturbed the whole time by WhatsApp messages every 5 minutes. All right.
My dude.
Right.
Hey, my phone.
Apparently, the diesel price hike has hit consumers. The surging price of diesel is dashing hopes of lower inflation. Diesel will go up by one. Oh, my God. I'm driving a diesel car. R1.43 a litre on Wednesday, weighing heavily on critical industries. This will push the Gauteng price of diesel to R25.49 a litre. That's a new record high. A year ago, a year ago, it was only R17.20. Now it's R25.49 a litre. As the Northern Hemisphere prepares for winter, the US and Europe are experiencing diesel shortages. So if you're wondering, diesel, you will be punished even more than anything else. So there's something to think about. Not a very pleasant thing.
Remember when petrol was R13 and it was expensive?
Yeah. Yeah.
At the time where it went above double digits, because it's never supposed to be above double digits. When we started saying a liter of petrol is more expensive than milk, that's right. When the trouble started. Now it's more than expensive than anything. It's so crazy.
All right. It is time for us to check in with Jean-Jacques Cornish in Africanalysis. Africanalysis is brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. We're looking at what's happening on the African continent. It's our chance to check in with JJ Cornish. Monsieur, how are you this morning? Bonjour.
Bonjour to you. I'm immensely well, thanks. Very well. I'm not at all elevated by the conversation. The dust, the dirt mites in my mattress.
Sorry.
The price of petrol now it's more expensive than whiskey. Yeah. You've depressed me. And it's my job speaking about Africa to depress you.
I know, JJ. We didn't want to steal your thunder, but you know, there's a lot to think about at the moment. So first of all, let's just talk about Ethiopia, because they have not they haven't been able to stay out of the news for much of this year. As we go into the last part of 2022, what is happening in Ethiopia? The peace talks?
Well, they've had those peace talks. They started here on Tuesday, and we said, that's as the host, South Africa, said they last until Sunday. Well, they went on yesterday, and they are continuing today. The African Union says, actually, we didn't put a time scale on them. But I have never dealt with talks that they have managed to keep as silent as this. You know, that great big building for DIRCO, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, has the one end that they can secure. No, you can't even see who's coming in and out. It's impossible. The fact is, that's what they've used, and there's been no leaks out of it. It's been absolute radio silence. So difficult to say what's happening. We hear what they plan or what they'd like, but no, and there's some indication, again, from South African sources that they will finish today. The point is that while they're doing this, there's been intense fighting still in Tigray. You know, the fighting started there 2 years ago. They had a five-month truce that was torpedoed in about August.
Right.
And, you know, there have been thousands upon tens of thousands of people killed, close to millions displaced, and, of course, humanitarian aid not getting through. The fact is they're working now towards getting a cessation of hostilities, Gareth, and on the back of that, they can, you know, once fighting has been frozen, they can plan a second round of talks. The ones in Pretoria are, in fact, the first round in the 2 years. And then they'll get a more formal ceasefire. That is what we plan. But we haven't had a communique. We haven't had any indication that that's going to happen. The Tigrayans want the Eritreans that are fighting them to be removed, and they want a kind of constitutional framework, and they want an end to the siege that has been laid on their country. The thing about the Tigrayans, they were very much part of the power elite. They're not the biggest group by any means, but there was this coalition, and they were very much part of the ruling coalition all the way until from 1991 and all the way until Abiy Ahmed came in. So they, you know, there's this great resentment, and when you take the power away from people who've been holding it, the bitterness is palpable. So the situation is that they're having talks, and it's better that they do that than that they don't. But we don't, in honesty, know what to expect. When they finish now, will they go away with the cessation at least of hostilities and allowing humanitarian aid to get through to the people who are starving to death.
Yeah, you know, I'm always a little bit befuddled by these talks that people have. You know, they have these peace talks, and obviously peace talks would, in, you know, you'd think that the victory conditions here, the things that you want to achieve in or out of this, is peace. That would be number one. They don't even seem to put that on the agenda. It's just like, let's get together and talk, and then at least we look like we're doing something. And that's what politicians all over the world seem to be doing. It's not just here in South Africa or in Africa.
Absolutely true. You know, you never had peace talks before until the sides had actually split apart. And then you couldn't move peacekeepers in to keep a peace that didn't exist. You know, you couldn't have peace enforcers. And now and again, the United Nations has had to do that of late. But normally, with peace talks, Gareth, they would write the communique before the people sit down at the table.
Right.
In other words, if you're not going to have anything, then why are you sitting down to talk? You know, you don't want to be known as the site of another failed peace attempt.
Well,
but in this
case,
that hasn't happened.
Maybe
and just, that's quite depressing.
Maybe they're doing it for the free food and drinks and accommodation. Who knows? All right.
Yeah. Well, Ethiopia is one of the richest countries on the continent, so I don't think that's the case.
No, maybe our food's better than Ethiopian food. Who knows? What about the DRC? Because they've just expelled the Rwandan ambassador. They alleged that Kigali is supporting the rebels in the east of the country, which is a big accusation. I mean, that is an area of unending conflict. And if Rwanda is actually, you know, like stoking fires and supporting the rebels, then obviously the DRC has every right to kick out this ambassador. What's actually going on there?
Well, you know, of course, the other side of it is that the Rwandans accuse the DRC of supporting the FDLR, and those are the sort of genocidaire, the rebels fighting the Rwandan government. Mm. But this poor individual is Vincent Karega. Now, not to be confused with Patrick Karegeya, who was the guy that was strangled in the Michelangelo Hotel.
Jesus.
And Vincent, he was actually the ambassador to South Africa at the time that happened. And he said, no, we could never have strangled Patrick because we don't have capital punishment in Rwanda.
Oh.
So, you know, there's no plan to kill this guy. Anyway, the thing is, the DRC, the Congolese, have been a bit crueler to him. They said to him, Vincent, get your ass out of here in 48 hours. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. We in South Africa in 2014, when we gave him the hoof, we gave him 72 hours to get out. And that was because of the unsuccessful attempt to assassinate Faustin Kayumba Nyamwasa, former army chief who'd fallen foul of the Rwandan president and was in exile in South Africa. He was shot outside his house as he was coming home. But he managed to survive, sadly. But so this man, Vincent, when they say you've been posted to such and such a thing, I think that the injunction thereafter is pack a small bag. You know, you're not going to be staying very long because he's not the most popular envoy that Rwanda has. Clearly, they have regretted this terribly. The thing is, the M23 have been taking a string of small towns around the east. I know the east very well, Goma, because I've been there many times. And it's right there on the border with Rwanda on Lake Kivu. So, it's interesting that they've taken such tough action. Let's see what happens in terms of how the Rwandans will reciprocate. When we kicked their ambassador and others out, they kicked all our guys out. We're back on track at the moment, but relations are still, to put it in the best diplomatic terms, a little frosty.
Jeez. Rwanda's really choosing some pretty awful envoys. I mean, they should do some kind of filtering process and at least try to keep their criminals out. You know?
Yeah.
Not too much.
Well, I mean,
to
I
ask.
Think they're more interested in gender parity than anything else. You know, I mean, they're not not as good as New Zealand, which has as many women MPs as men at the moment. But they do. They've elevated a number of very quality, high quality individual women, and so you know that's the sort of thing they look to. The Rwanda is this real dichotomy. I've said this before. The only South Africans I know who are really admiring of Rwanda are Mlungus, who say, have you been there? Have you noticed how clean it is? Have you noticed how little litter there is?
I mean,
you say, yeah, but they actually kill their political opponents. Oh, yeah, a small detail there. But, yeah, have you noticed?
I mean, listen, our standards are so low that that's where we've got to start. So I suppose we're still trying to figure out what exactly we want in Africa. Do we want dictators who keep the place clean and who murder their political rivals? Do we want a country that can, you know, ensure gender parity? Do we want a country that can get like the cause of merit to the forefront? Or do we just basically want things to work? I mean, it's not too much to ask. Let's move on to Rishi Sunak, who's the new Prime Minister of Britain. And he's received quite a lot of attention, a lot of it very good attention. He seems to be an interesting guy. Clearly married very well. He's got lots and lots of money in the bank. But also, smart dude. He's got the right background. He appears to be very smart. He appears to have a plan. What is his connection, though, to Africa? Because I believe his African heritage and his African roots are as big a deal as his Indian ones.
Certainly. He has the sort of Barack Obama stuff, and from the same part of the world. Mm. Now, Rishi Sunak, 42 years old, youngest British premier in 200 years or more. Mm-hmm. His daddy, Yasvir, he was born in Kenya. So Rishi was actually born and raised in that area of the world. His mum, Usha, was born in Tanganyika. And they came to Britain they originally come from the Punjab. But, obviously Kenyans and Tanzanians are delighted now to have this man with the heritage from their part of the world in number 10 Downing Street. But interestingly, Rishi Sunak is among the proponents of sending illegal migrants on to the country you've just mentioned, back to Rwanda. You know, Rwanda's taken like 180 million pounds from Britain to take their unwanted migrants. It hasn't happened because that's all tied up in the Court of Human Rights and so on. But let's see what he does, and what will happen when the first Kenyan or Tanzanian who goes, sadly gets caught and put on a plane to Rwanda. What's he going to say to Rishi Sunak? Hey, brother, is this the way you like to treat us?
Well, I mean, it's interesting though that his parents are from Africa. That's really cool. I mean, we'll take that the PM of Britain is an African. We'll just claim him, like we claimed Barack Obama's an African, even though he was born in Hawaii. Right.
Yeah. So you know, all those jokes that had the samosas on a plate saying full English breakfast. I think we now can have a similar one where we have yams and cassava and stuff like that on a plate and say full English breakfast too.
All right. Very good. Thank you, JJ. Always good to check in with you. I hope you have an excellent day and a good month of November. We're winding down towards the end of the year, so hopefully also more good news, less hard conflict-based stuff coming from the African continent. We can only hope. JJ, thanks so much.
All the very best. Nice chatting with you.
There we go. JJ Cornish is brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School with Africanalysis, everything you need to know. Sure. Those ambassadors and envoys from Rwanda, it sounds like the kind of thing that you would expect from our government. Like we would have people who get chucked out, people who get murdered in their hotel rooms, people who, you know, all these terrible things that happen. But funnily enough, we're not as bad. I mean,
I don't know.
The thing is,
their stories make it to like newspapers and make it to the media. I don't want to say, you know, it's happening here, but maybe we just don't know about some things that are occurring behind the scenes. You know, the Rwandans are just, I guess they have great journalism.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. I don't want to sit here and be like, our country is so squeaky clean. Nobody's killing anybody. Dude, you see these stories sometimes and you're like, oh, South Africa's a movie. Oh my gosh. Hey man, it's hot. It's just the streets are hot. And we just clean up a little bit better than most. We just don't, expose ourselves at that level. But it's hot.
We're better at hiding it, that's all.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing.
I vote for whatever means there's less politicians. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. If the dictator is going to kill off politicians, I'll vote. Well, I won't vote for it because he's a dictator. But I'm...
No, dude.
I'm and the good news is that we can find a carpet company to just come up and clean up all that mess.
That's right.
Exactly. Gareth knows them.
Yeah, I'll just send you their details. All right. Very good. Okay. Even Ohopotse says, no, they don't. So you see, no one believes. Okay. It is just about 7 o'clock. We will be back with a whole lot more in the next little while. Malcolm Dluli is here, and Lebang Khosana, and me, and you. Stick around. Lots of good stuff on the way. CliffCentral.com. It is the 1st of November. CliffCentral.com.